And he really laid something interesting on my heart for this week. And it's part of the reason that we're moving our prayer time for people's needs to the end of the service, because I just believe that God had something he's laid on my heart that I really want to speak to us. And this morning I'm going to talk about overdue answers. How many ever had a moment in your life, and this is probably something everybody should raise their hand, but how many had that moment in your life that you felt like you prayed and prayed and prayed for an answer, and that answer was overdue and coming? Come on, be honest. We all have those moments, you know. And many times, I think sometimes it's because we're kind of an impatient people. It has been said that many Americans, that Americans are the most time-conscious people in the world. And if you don't believe that, go visit some of the other countries and kind of watch the difference in their schedule and the way they do things. We do everything by the clock. And I'll never forget that we're used to running in and doing this. And a few years back, Kim and I went on a little missions trip to Mexico. And we had about a day and a half to play in Playa del Carmen. We were really roughing it while we were there. And it was just interesting how that everything moved at a completely different pace. I mean, you could advertise that something started at this time because we were doing part of a conference and all this stuff, and people would just kind of meander in well after something started. It's just a whole different dynamic. But it's a little different in this nation. We live by the clock. We think of everything has to be fast. So you don't believe me, think about it. I was just thinking about a few names of some of the things that we use. We get our oil changed at Quick Lube. We get our packages delivered by FedEx. Prep. Our coffee is instant, or we overpay for the little bitty deal so we can brew individual cups in a hurry. We drive on expressways. If you need a loan, you go to Quicken Loans. Our computers and our phones have instant messaging. See the theme there? See, someone said Americans are the only people who shout at their microwaves to hurry up. Our area right now has a whole lot of construction going on, and sometimes there's delays, and we get upset. So don't go that way. You have to go through a school zone and actually slow down. And it always interests me to see that some of the most sweetest, loving Christian people, you get them in a bad traffic situation that slows them down, and they can become some of the most aggressive, call other people names they shouldn't be calling them kind of people. We don't like delays. We don't like when things are overdue in our minds. But sometimes, if we really saw reasons for some of the delays, we'd really be upset. Ran across a story of a guy by the name of David Beckany that on February 12, 2009, because of traffic delays and things, missed his flight. He was supposed to be flying from Newark Liberty International Airport to Buffalo Niagara International Airport. And not only was he late, but as he tried to get another flight, he couldn't get another flight. And what made it even worse, he couldn't even find a room to stay in. So he ended up kind of camping out at the airport. And he was all upset and everything until all of a sudden he saw on the news that the plane he was supposed to be on had crashed. And he made the statement, he said, as he watched the news report, he said, "My wife would have been one of those families that was grieving the loss of their loved one. God was watching over me that day." See, sometimes our delays are for a reason. You ever prayed for the Lord to move in your life and he didn't respond, and you exactly when and how you wanted him to, and perhaps this caused you to be angry or frustrated or maybe even doubtful that he heard your prayers? See, sometimes we face those situations, we're all guilty of that, but maybe that answer is overdue. Maybe it's really just overdue in our eyes, and it's overdue for a reason. Hebrews 10:36 says this, is you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Sometimes there's a reason for the delay. Most of you have probably seen the J.G. Whitworth commercial where, I hate this commercial, but there it talks about where you know, if you're owed some money or something, you can do that. And the whole commercial is all these people, "It's my money and I want it now." I hate that commercial. And what they don't tell you is, yeah, they'll give you the money now, but they're going to take part of the other money when it does come so they can give you the money now. You're actually going to end up with less. I thought, wow. How many times do we pray that way? God, it's my miracle and I want it now. And that maybe by pushing things through or something that somehow would be settling for less of a miracle than he really wants to supply for our lives if we just be a little more patient. See, just because we don't see the reason for the delay doesn't mean that it isn't overdue for a reason. And really, it's probably not overdue. It's just overdue from our perspective. The Apostle Luke tells one of my favorite miracles in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 3, 1 through 3, I love this story. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. You know, think about this. This whole story, you're probably, if you spent much time in Scripture, you're probably pretty familiar with this story. But the whole story is about a man that was lame from birth. You think about it, when other babies were getting up and taking their first steps, he couldn't. When other kids were running around and playing and kicking a ball and doing those kind of things, he couldn't do it. He was not a part of that. When the teenagers began to work on the family farms or do the things that other kids his age did, he had to sit. He was not able to help at all. Because of his condition, he was poor. He was a beggar. And he would sit at the gate of the temple and ask for money from those who passed by. That was his life. This man had endured this struggle his entire life. See, sometimes we have overdue miracles in our life. You know, we live in a time where everything we buy, everything we do, there's always some kind of warning label. You can't buy a package of gum without seeing some kind of warning label. I mean, we eat up with that. So I put a warning label on today's message. Warning, delayed miracles may cause disappointment. See, maybe your need for a miracle may be something that you have dealt with for many, many years, just like this man in our story today. And because of your waiting, you've been frustrated, you've been discouraged, maybe you even had times you were angry at God. You may be here today facing issues that has troubled you for a long, long time, and your greatest desire is for the Lord to come on the scene and work a miracle in your life. I really pray this morning that today will be a message that will encourage you and remind you that just because you haven't seen what you pray for doesn't mean that that miracle isn't on its way. See, this man was at a low point in his life. He had All he really had faith enough for was that some pocket change. He didn't ask for anything else. He just asked for pocket change. He says, probably about as much faith as he could muster up that I could, well, maybe I can get some pocket change so I can get something to eat today. But I have good news for you today. Jesus still works miracles today. He still answers prayer today. And today may be the day of somebody's miracle. You see, you know, in our minds, maybe we have miracles that are overdue. I'm sure that in this man's mind, that we don't have his name, but I'm sure that he had times that it seemed like his miracle was overdue. I really thought as I looked at this scripture from a little different perspective this week, that if we take a closer look at it, and some thoughts hit me. When Peter and John found this man, he was at the gate of the temple. You know, the nice thing is he did have some friends that would come and in a sense take him to church and get him in the area and place him by the gate Beautiful where he could beg for some money and things. But the interesting thing to me, the thing that hit me as I was looking at this week is at this point in history, Jesus had already ascended to heaven. But it was the very recent past that the very area that he was sitting in was the area that Jesus roamed for years. And I believe it's probable, I believe it's pretty probable that this man was around on many occasions when Jesus was in the region. There's no doubt in my mind that he had heard the stories. There's no doubt that he heard news about this man from Galilee and the miracles that he performed. And I wonder how many times he sat there at that gate hoping that Jesus would come by. Maybe he heard that Jesus had spit on the ground and healed a blind man's eye. Or maybe he heard that Jesus put his finger in the ear of a deaf man and that man could hear. Who knows? Maybe even he knew those people. Maybe he'd heard when Jesus encountered 10 leopards and the sound of his voice, at the sound of his voice, every one of them were cleansed when he just spoke the words. Maybe he'd heard where the centurion actually approached Jesus and Jesus just said, okay, from this point on, your servant is healed, and it was done. Maybe he'd heard that story. Maybe he'd heard about the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years that pressed through and got her miracle. Maybe he'd heard about the man named Jairus whose daughter was sick and died but was healed by Jesus. Maybe he'd heard about a man named Lazarus who had been dead for 4 days and was raised up. With all these miracles going on in the very region with which he lived, why was he left out? Maybe he had asked that question. Why me? Why has Jesus been all this area, all these places? All these people that I know or have heard about have gotten their miracles, and for whatever reason I haven't gotten mine. Why? Maybe he lived for many years thinking that today could be the day that Jesus would come by and he would receive his miracle, and for years it didn't happen, and then he heard about Jesus' death, and now he's sitting there thinking, what's the point? Maybe I can get a little change today to get by. You may be here today in a similar situation. Maybe for a very long time you've longed for God to move in your life and to do something spectacular. Maybe you've prayed and prayed and prayed and said, God, I need a miracle. God, I need that victory. And you've looked around, you've seen, you've been in situations, you've been in services, we've seen God meet somebody else's need over here, somebody else over there, and you kind of feel like, well, where am I? That he's just passed by. And it just seems that way. You know, I'm not going to resist the temptation to tell, so many of you are aware of the story that 2 years ago this March, Kim was healed of asthma. It was something that she faced for years. When we first got married, she was in pretty good shape, but it seemed like as time went by, that became more and more of an issue. And by the time that we had reached the place that that we had accepted the position at the Lakes Community Church in Fate, it was full-blown difficulty. She would have to get breathing treatments several times a day. From her, we had a machine in the house that put the albuterol and all the messages. She would have to do these, and it reached a point that she would go to work and almost at times, if she didn't have her inhaler with her, almost pass out at work. It was very bad. She couldn't go to anybody's house that had a pet or something without it being an issue, and it was a struggle. And I know many, many times she prayed and prayed. I know that many, many times we prayed and prayed, believing in the power of God. I know there were many times probably that we prayed for somebody else and they got their healing and she was still facing her difficulty. But there was that day that we went to a conference and went into a room in a classroom setting to hear a man that was going to come preach here the following Sunday, just to see what he was like, just to see. We'd heard good things, and he was teaching a workshop on how that God still performs miracles today. We had no doubt. I mean, we were just going to hear who he was and hear his philosophy and how he taught and those kind of things. And as we're sitting there listening, we had no idea that on that day in that classroom at Southwestern Assembly of God University, he was going to say, enough talk about this, let's put it into practice. And all of a sudden, Kim felt that urging, today is your day. That miracle that you think has been overdue, today is the appointed time for your victory. You should have been there. She ran down front. And she walked out of there completely healed. It was her day. God still does that stuff today. And just because he doesn't respond exactly when and how we want him to, it doesn't mean that he's forsaken us. You see, he has reasons for things that we don't understand. God always has a plan for the struggles and the things we go through in lives as children. He doesn't, you know, the great thing about God, we may have to walk through suffering, but he doesn't waste suffering. Even our suffering, even our difficulty serves a purpose. You see, we pray for miracles for years and we may not receive it, but there may come a day when you least expect it that God shows up and does something amazing. And for some of you here today, I don't know, today may be your day. You see, all the things that we lack, there's our perceived due date. And we may think it's an overdue miracle, but God has his own actual due date. And sometimes his due date for the miracle is different from what we think it ought to be. You see, you may be forgetting that your answer is over. You may be thinking that you're fretting that your answer is overdue, but in reality, you just missed the actual date. You put the wrong date on your calendar. God has that miracle on a different date. Catching back up with our story, verses 6 through 8, it says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk." That's pretty good in and of itself. But then it says, "He went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God." That's pretty cool. I mean, I would love to have been there and seen that. This guy that couldn't do anything. Not only did he get up, because you kind of picture, okay, his legs begin to work and he's just kind of, barely beginning to make steps and everything. But no, it was an instant miracle. I mean, he's jumping up and down. He's praising God. He's yelling. You can just imagine the spectacle that made. And this man that was placed at the gate beautiful that morning had no idea that this was the date that was going to change his life forever. All he wanted was some money for some food, but he didn't get what he wanted. He got something much, much better. You may have been calling on God to do something specific in your life, but today may be the day that you receive a miracle beyond even what you have faith to ask for. See, the truth is God is sovereign, and he knows what's best. He knows the reason for your struggle. He knows the reason for the delay in your answer. He knows how. He knows when and how he works a miracle, and there's a reason for that as well. He has it all laid out. We look at our situation and we think that we know how it would best be resolved, but we have to realize we have a very limited perspective and he has a much higher perspective than ours. See, if this lame man had had his way, he would have never been born with the condition. If he had had his way, he would not have chosen his current circumstance at all. And maybe you're here and you don't know what God has planned for you, and you don't know what you may feel that you know what God should do for you and how it should be done. But God may have another plan concerning your miracle. All we can do as believers is trust that he knows best, that he will do it at the right time. See, in this man's mind, the miracle was long overdue, but God's timing was perfect. Think about it. Peter reached down and lifted this man up. His legs received strength. He was filled with joy. He walked. He leaped. He jumped up and down praising God. I can just imagine what that must look like. Them come walking in to the main area there outside that gate, and all of a sudden they're walking along and people are bustling around and moving, and all of a sudden there's this noise of this man, praising God loudly, and they look over there, and here's the guy that people for years and years and years had seen sitting at the gate, beautiful, and all of a sudden he's walking around in the area, and he's going, "Wow!" That probably caught some people's attention. Yes. You see, something impossible happened. Yes, Jesus could have walked by and healed this man, adding to Jesus' fame a little more. However, by delaying that answer, the gospel was spread even more, because now the apostles that were walking and carrying his name would be there and be on hand to show that, you know what, Jesus came, yes, he lived, yes, he died, but he's still moving through his people, and look what God can do, because all of a sudden, this was something that nobody there could deny. Matter of fact, in the Bible story, if you read the rest of it, the the officials of the day actually call this meeting together. They're trying to figure out what to do because they actually make the statement, what are we going to do about this? Because nobody can deny that this was a miracle. Because they all knew he was lame, but now he wasn't. You see, maybe you're in a similar situation. For whatever reason, you need a miracle, and we believe that God is still working miracles today, right? Don't we believe that? And could it be that your overdue miracle is simply waiting on the perfect time where God will get the most glory for your victory? Where it will build up other people's faith to receive what God has for them. See, the truth is, we make our miracles and our prayers all about us, but it really is about so much more. Everyone who had spent any time in the temple knew who this man was. Some maybe even given him change from time to time. Others may have thought, oh yeah, I'm not going to go this way, because if I go this way, that guy's going to be there that always asks for money, and I just want to face him today, so I'm going to go around this way. Come on, we know we do that stuff. But Acts 3, 9, and 10 says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. See, when the crowd, this drew a crowd. I mean, talk about a perfect miracle. All of a sudden, everybody's attention that was in that area was focused on this one thing. Everybody was like, wow, what is this? Something has happened. And all of a sudden, Peter seizes the opportunity and says, I'm glad you asked. And he reclaimed that neither he nor John had healed this man, but that it was Jesus, the same Jesus that they had rejected, the same Jesus that they had crucified, the same Jesus who was resurrected and was now, he was the one that was, through the power of his Spirit, had healed this man. And Peter preached an incredible message, and souls came into the kingdom today because of that miracle. You know, if basically laid out, if they too had faith, that they could receive a life-changing miracle, and salvation came to many, and many things happened. You know, some will tell you today, and I always have a problem with this sometimes when people say that. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, you know, that thing that's going on in your life, if you just had enough faith, you would be healed. Now, if you have enough faith, you'll see God work a miracle. And yes, faith has a lot to do with it, but the fact is, sometimes your struggle can bring more glory to God than a miracle would. He didn't promise that this would all be perfect and everything would just flow and be great and sometimes we go through seasons, but it has a purpose. We don't know why Kim's miracle took so long. Doesn't lessen our thankfulness that it came. And it served a purpose. Yeah, the more I begin to think about that, you know, God could have done it when we first got married. God could have done the miracle when we were in faith and the church was struggling a little bit. But the time came when it would have the most impact on other people, and that's when the miracle took place. You know, some of you heard the story of when she told it what happened. Some of you weren't here, but when that whole thing happened, it became such a thing as we began to share the testimony that it ended up in the North Texas District newsletter. So all over North Texas, this miracle was spread. And it was, when district council rolled around, that we're in district council, we're worshiping, and it's the middle, and God's moving in the service. We're worshiping God, and things are happening, and Kim felt this urge. It's kind of a weird word, but she this urge to go to the restroom. And all the whole time we had been there, that people kept coming up, hey, I saw your story in the newsletter. That's great. And so she's trying to slip out of note. And I'm like, really, you got to go now? God's presence is here. The service is great. Why are you, you know, kind of like when you tell a kid, can't you wait just a little longer? But she really felt this urgency, but come to find out the urgency was a little more than what she needed to do. Because she goes walking into the ladies' restroom right in the middle of district council. And this lady that she did not know comes busting in the red restroom, and this lady can hardly breathe, and she's kind of leaning on the counter, and she's struggling to get a breath, and she takes a big puff from an inhaler, and she's struggling, and Kim just feels this prodding of the Holy Spirit right there in the ladies' restroom to walk over and say, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And so Kim begins to share her story. And the lady says, "That was you?" She had seen the article in the newsletter. And she said, "You know, I had just been in service and I'm struggling." She said, "And I just prayed, God, you did that for her. Why can't you do that for me?" And right then and there, in the ladies' restroom at district council, Kim prays for her. She didn't know at the time this lady was a wife to a missionary, and she was really concerned about whether or not she was even going to get to go back on the mission field because of the struggle she was having. She walked out of that lady's restroom at district council at Southwestern Assembly of God University, healed. I'm sure she had prayed for years and years and years. Who would have thought that her due date for her miracle was going to be in the middle of a ladies' restroom? We just don't know. By the way, her story has been shared now. So God got all kinds of spreading of the good news of his miraculous power just because of these couple of miracles. You see, God loves doing those kind of things, and he has timing for things that we don't comprehend of how he's going to use that to bring glory to himself. And so maybe you're here today, you've been waiting a long time for the Lord to move in a mighty way in your life. And remember, his timing is perfect. And maybe it hasn't happened when you wanted it to, but when he decides the time is due, it will be perfect timing. We also must address the fact that the answer you're waiting on may be about more than timing. Maybe your overdue answer has more to do with something else. See, Jesus worked many miracles in his life, but each one of those miracles came with a message. He always gets more out of it than just the miracle. Maybe your answer is overdue for the reason of overdue obedience. You may want change, but God may need you changed first. I read Hebrews 10:36 earlier where it says, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Maybe your miracle is delayed because you have not done the will of God. Maybe God has spoke something in your life and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you didn't follow through on something that he intended for you to do, and your lack of obedience is the reason that you haven't received the miracle you've been praying for. Let's take a look at another answer of that was almost aborted due to disobedience. I'm going to switch Bible stories with you this morning, but many of you may be familiar with the story of a guy by the name of Naaman, and he wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't even part of God's people, but he had a servant. He had a servant girl that loved God very much, and this man was a prominent in his kingdom, and he had a position, and he had power and authority, but he was on the verge of losing that because all of a sudden they realized that he had leprosy. And obviously during that time, that was a disease that you were cast out, you were moved away, and you couldn't be around people, and so he was on the verge of losing it all. But his servant girl said, "Hey, my people serve the true God, and there's a prophet that's not too far away by the name of Elisha, and if you'll go and speak with him, see with him, he may pray and God may deliver you and heal you of your disease." So he went. And he shows up and he shows up with one level of expectation, but God doesn't do things exactly like he thought it should be done. And let's catch up with the story in 2 Kings 5, chapter 10 through 14. says Elijah sent a messenger to him and said, go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you'll be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure my leprosy. Are not Abana and the rivers of Damascus better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned off and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to go do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you to wash and be cleansed? So he went down and he dipped himself in the Jordan several times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and he became clean like that of a young boy. Just think about it. He almost aborted his own miracle. Just because the word that he got wasn't exactly the way he thought it was supposed to look like. He had this vision that Elisha, the man of God, was going to step out of the room and the angels would be singing and he would be walk up and speak in this authoritative voice and call the name of God and just wave his hand over the thing and he'd be healed. That's the way he had it pictured in his mind. But instead, Elisha didn't even go out to meet him. Elisha just says, I just tell him to go dip in the Jordan River several times and he'll be clean. It didn't look like what he thought, so he was upset. And he almost left. He almost aborted his own miracle. See, sometimes we cry out for the answer, and God sends the answer to us, but it doesn't look like we thought, so we walk away in disobedience. Our miracle is now overdue, but this time it's our fault. See, Scripture is full of moments when God's people receive instructions that make no sense. Sometimes God, when we pray for something, he'll lay something in our heart. He'll speak to something in our spirit. He'll send somebody else that he uses to speak something into our lives. And because it doesn't make sense, we don't follow through. We blow it off. We walk away. And our miracle is delayed because of our disobedience. See, God does that kind of stuff many times. If you think about it, I mean, think about the children of Israel. They were told to go in and possess the promised land. God had it all laid out, but because it looked too difficult in their eyes, their miracle was delayed 40 years. Others obey even when it looks goofy and they get their answer in a miraculous way. Think about it. How goofy is it that Gideon was called upon to set the children of Israel to free them from the oppression of the Philistines, and he's called upon that situation, and he's got this huge army he's going to face, and God looks at it and says, oh, you got way too many people, and he whittles it down to 300 and says, oh, by the way, you're going to carry a torch and a pot. I mean, God has a way sometimes of giving us the goofiest instructions, but many times it's for the purpose of, are we going to be obedient? Do we fully trust him? Do we have that faith? And many times, if we'll just follow through, we'll see miraculous things happen. Perhaps you need a miracle and God spoke to you and you walked away like Naaman almost did because it doesn't fit your sense of logic. See, sometimes we're logical people. Well, that doesn't make sense. I kind of think of Spock. I wish I could cock one eyebrow like he used to do and say, that's highly illogical. But we try to apply our logic to these things. Yes, I'm a little bit of a nerd, I know. I embrace it completely. But it doesn't fit our sense of logic. You know, maybe you have a financial need and God says tithe, and you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. I already don't have enough. So why should I be obedient in this thing? Because that means I'm that much more short. And God says, no, trust me in this. Maybe you need one miracle and he says, and you've already got some money set aside for it, and he says, and a situation pops up and he says, give that to me and watch what I do to meet your need. And we hold on to that, but God, that's mine. See, I've seen times in my own life that we've made sacrifices like that, but then all of a sudden God comes through in miraculous ways. Maybe you have a health issue. I've got a friend years ago, was best friend of my brother at a very young age. He was a very, very young man. I mean, just high school and just getting out of high school. And his name was Craig. Loved Craig. Craig was like another brother. I mean, because he'd grown up so much around our house, and he was diagnosed with cancer. He had bone cancer. At a very, very young age, he was going through all these treatments and all these things. I don't know. All I know is that there was one time we were gathered together. We were at a prayer meeting. And God's presence was there. And one of the ladies that had prayed for him kind of spoke something a little strange over him. Basically told him to go back home and eat some spinach. Now that sounds goofy, right? And that's the way that he took it. Because if you knew Craig, he didn't like things like that at all. And he didn't do it. Now, I don't know whether or not this has the cause to anything. I don't know. I'm not God. But I've just often wondered. He didn't do it and he ended up passing away. And I've often wondered, what would have happened if he'd have just been obedient in that? I don't know. But what would it have hurt to try? Yeah. Right. See, sometimes you have to try the thing that seems odd that the Lord lays upon your heart. Sometimes you have to try to do something that you couldn't do. I know I'm on Kim, but years ago, one of the miracles that I haven't shared so much with you guys, years ago, we hadn't been married a very long period of time, Kim was healed of a bean allergy. I mean, she was allergic to beans. I mean, one of our early dates, we went to a Mexican food place, and she tasted part of my dish, and it had beans in it, and I had to take her home with her lips swollen up and all this stuff going on. And somehow, I still got another date. I don't know, but anyway. But we hadn't been married very long, and we were in a service, and God was moving, and people were being prayed for, and I prodded her. I said, go up and get your bean allergy prayed for. She's like, oh, that's not that important. And I kept pushing her and prodding her, and she went up and was prayed for, and felt like God did something. And after the service that day, there was a, you know, people in church eat well, and there's a Mexican food luncheon to raise money for, and so we go to this luncheon, and we're standing in line. And she goes, I feel like God did something today. And there we are. We're walking down this line to get her food, and there's this big pot of beans. She goes, I really think God did it. The only thing I know to do is try, right? Big old spoon and the refried beans, plop, right on the plate. Went and sat down. She ate. I was watching. Nothing happened. Matter of fact, a week later, I went and I found a recipe, and I thought, we're going to really put it to the test. The bean soup that has all these different, you know. No problem. That's part of the reason I think Mexican food's her favorite food, because she can have it now, right? Yeah, we had a young lady. We were in children's ministry. Went to kids camp one year. She had a real issue of being lactose intolerant, very severely lactose intolerant. So we had a kid event. We had to always do something separate for her, make sure she had something. So she'd gone to camp with us. And God was moving in the service, and it wasn't until later that we realized we had it on film that during the altar time, I mean, the Holy Spirit hit her, and she dropped to the floor, and she's laying there in the middle of the floor, and she's just rubbing her tummy. And we didn't know about this till afterwards. So she gets up and she's convinced that God's healed her. And so after it's all over with, she decides, well, I'm going to go to the snack shack after it's all over with. And she walks up and she orders a big ice cream cone. Now, that would have been a major issue. And had she come to me, because being in charge, had she come to me and said, hey, I really feel like God healed me. I want to eat this ice cream cone. I'd have said, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to face your parents here, so why don't you go home, talk to your parents. That would have been my advice, being logical. But childlike faith, she responds to that, and she goes and she orders the ice cream and she eats it. Nothing happens. Every day, every time throughout the whole thing, she was eating all this dairy all week long. Nothing happened. I'm glad her parents were very receptive to the idea when she got home, or I'd have been in trouble. She's in the ministry today. You see, we just never know when God's timing comes along, He can do something and do a miracle. We just never know. You see, only you and God know what's keeping your answer overdue. Faith cannot cause a miracle on its own, but God does respond to obedient faith. Today, your obedience to something He has told you to do, even if it defies logic, may be the very thing that He is waiting on for your miracle. In closing this morning, there are several things I want us to remember real quickly. Number one, Jesus has the power. This man had been lame his whole life, but it was not too big of a problem for Jesus. Whatever your situation is, Jesus has the power for your miracle. Number two is sometimes we have a misplaced perception of who Jesus thinks we are. This man may have thought he was worthless, that he was lame and that God had passed him by and that his day, that God had just abandoned him and left him. But he found out that Jesus knew his story. Jesus had just had the perfect time for his miracle. See, Jesus knows your story and your struggle. Number three, Jesus' presence is here. So by the time this miracle occurred, as I said, Jesus has already gone on to heaven. And maybe he thought there's just no way Jesus was gone, but Jesus was on the scene. He just didn't know that Jesus was moving for those that were there that day. So you may have a certain issue you think is your greatest need, and you've been begging God to move, but so far He hasn't. The fact is you may need that need may be greater than you imagine. Maybe you just need to obey Him and yield your life to Him and ask Him to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. Maybe that is the step He's waiting on for your miracle. Maybe you've already received the miracle of salvation. But there are others in the Bible that have dealt with the same issue of delay. The children of Israel waited for 40 years before they could go in the promised land. Abraham waited 99 years before Isaac was born. Joseph waited for 14 years before his life turned around. Sometimes our miracles wait. When Jairus was waiting for his daughter to be healed, his miracle was interrupted by the lady that had the issue of blood that walked up and kind of stopped the scene for a little bit. And I'm sure that maybe in his eye, he's like, hey, we were on the way to get my miracle. I don't know why your miracle has been delayed. All I know is this. If we could get some music in the background. Romans 8:28 says this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I don't have a lot of time to delay this morning. I'm going to ask our prayer team to make their way to the front. If you're here this morning, and maybe you've had something that's been on your heart, some issue that you've faced, and you've struggled. You say, God, my miracle is overdue. My healing is overdue. My financial miracle is overdue. My loved one coming home and turning back to You is overdue. The restoration of my marriage is overdue. God has perfect timing. Who knows? Today may be your day. That's you. We're not going to delay. We don't have a lot of time before the next service. Just step out and let us pray with you this morning. If you have a delayed miracle, and you say, I need it, and something that has been spoken today has stirred your heart, just step out. Make that walk of faith right now. Right now. Lord, I just believe in a miracle-working God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Join with me in praying for this young lady. serve a faithful God. And even if, for whatever reason, today wasn't the day, that doesn't mean that your appointed time isn't on God's calendar. Don't give up. Keep seeking. Father, we do thank you for today. Thank you for each and every person that's here and your faithfulness. Lord, I ask that you'll keep us, watch over us. And Lord, that you'll bring us back together next week. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We do have some No Monsters invite cards that are out there. If you have kids in the neighborhood and around, you can pick one of a few of these up and pass them around for our event this Saturday. God bless.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. It all, he wants it all, and he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me.
Be the sun. dad is an online student at Liberty University. But he still has time to be Mr. Fix-It, a sports fanatic. And he knows what's most important in life. One day, I'm gonna be just like my dad.
Still before creation, eternity in your hand, and you spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You still before
one, two. It's on. Logan, we're good.